And for the very last time in 2024, welcome, friends, to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Avi, we talked about so many local stories this year.
So many,
yes. And some of them, they were standout political issues that made national headlines. But others, they were the weird and wacky antics that could only happen in Philly. Like, remember the single guy who took out a billboard in Grace Ferry looking for a date? Remember him?
How could I forget? These are the moments that brought fun and laughter to our show, along with you, our listeners. These really stuck with us for the year. So to start off today's show, the final show of the year, we are revisiting the craziest things that happened in our region.
And we had three guests join us in our Philadelphia studio. Solomon Jones, a columnist at the Philadelphia Inquirer and host on WURD Radio. We also had Lauren Vitas, who writes Broad and Market, a weekly newsletter covering city council. And Stephanie Farr, she writes about what makes Philly weird, wild, and wonderfully unique for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I think we should start with the portal.
Let's remind folks what the portal is, because it sounds ominous if you don't know what it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the device out of Stargate if you're a big science fiction fan. And it is a video art installation that connects people around the world. It's silent, though, so you have to connect through just motion and movement.
And looking at people, yeah.
And looking at people. And I think the strangest thing about the portal is that after 2 months, we still have it. I think when it first appeared in Philadelphia.
I expected a very, very quick international incident.
Yeah. You guys expected Hitchbot, but you got a different outcome here. People are actually taking to this thing and they're communicating with people. What, it's Dublin, Lublin, and Vilnius, I think, are the three cities.
And Lithuania,
So you have Ireland, Poland, and Lithuania are the countries, And people have not only not destroyed it, much to my surprise and gratitude, but they've really embraced it. I spent 5 hours there one day, and it was some of the most joyful hours of my 2024. Yeah. I watched Philadelphians dance with strangers in other cities. There was a guy in Lithuania who held up a Go Bird sign for us, and the entire crowd went wild. And then somebody showed up in a pink satin bunny suit with a parasol and then did the mummer strut in front of the camera, which I'm sure really confused people in Poland.
By the way, I was able to finally visit the portal. I went to the Christmas village as well, and it was just kind of cool. We were all... I felt really silly, though, because we were all just, like, really just waving at each other.
Yeah. Couldn't think of anything more beyond the wave.
I was like, hi. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the challenges, right, is how do we communicate? What are some silent methods of communication that we can use? And I saw a lot of people playing rock, paper, scissors with people in other countries, which was really cool. Throwback, yeah. So,
Lauren, Solomon, have you seen the portal? You've been to the portal?
I was afraid to go to the portal.
You were?
Because I thought... I know our people. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be out there and be embarrassed. It wasn't like a physical fear. It was like, man, I'm going to be embarrassed if I go. Y'all are going to do something crazy. But to my surprise, it's still there. It's great. So I'll stop by.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's right outside your office, basically, Lauren.
I swung through. I was, as I said, I was expecting like the State Department to have to get involved at some point. I was pleasantly surprised at how mundane it was.
I think the next story we have for you, Stephanie Farr, is, it just says here, Single Dave. Who's Single Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Is Single Dave still single is the question.
Ooh. I got an update.
Please, wait, explain the story and then update, please.
I'm so excited.
So this was a gentleman from West Philly, David Klein, who took out a billboard in Grays Ferry, a dating billboard, for about $1,100. And he just put a picture of himself up and a very large picture of his cat with him. And it said, Dave is single and want to go on a date with Dave. And then he gave some fast facts about himself on the billboard, including that he can cook, has normal hobbies, owns a cat, and that he bought a billboard.
Yeah. One of his normal hobbies is buying billboards, apparently.
I mean, it's a disposable income flex right there.
Yeah. I mean, what I really love about this story, and my colleague has been covering it, is that he didn't buy the billboard initially to as a dating method. He just wanted to make people smile. He wanted to just kind of put a picture of himself up, and he's like, well, let me make it a little more useful. So I love these people who bring this random joy and break us out of our everyday in Philadelphia, and Dave Klein was one of those
guys.
By
the way, he was inundated with DMs.
So
we
many.
We got to mention that. I mean, he did get DMs. He went on some dates.
Yeah, thousands of DMs, at least 20 dates, some of them sponsored by, like, Four Walls Whiskey, which is the brand from the guys from It's Always Sunny, and went on the Drew Barrymore show. Like, he blew up.
Dave was on the Drew Barrymore show?
Yeah, so this went around the world and, you know, got international attention. But I did follow up with him this week for my year-end story.
Drum roll.
Do you want to spoil it or not? It's up to you.
I'm happy to. I think he'd be fine.
This is breaking news on Studio 2, folks.
Go right ahead. What happened with Dave?
Dave is still single.
Oh, no.
There is no hope for the rest of us.
Oh, no. I was
certain you were going to say he's found love.
No, I know. I was a little bummed. But, you know, Dave is young. He's 28. He's got time.
And Dave could be picky. We don't know. Like, you
That's
know.
True. Because this could be a Dave issue.
I don't know. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it is. But, you know, people, you got to have standards. You know what I mean?
Dave is 28 with money for a billboard. Yeah. Dave is going to be fine. Let's just be clear.
So I've got, what do I have next here? I got something called, it says, Stephanie, it says Scrapple Sculpting.
Oh, yeah, Scrapple.
Which is, that's a tongue twister. Scrapple Sculpting. Yeah. Scrapple Sculpt. What's Scrapple Sculpting?
So this happened in October. The Reading Terminal Market, in advance of their inaugural Scrapple and Apple Festival, held a Scrapple Sculpting contest, wherein they gave contestants, 10 of whom signed up. They had to turn people away from this contest, mind you, which is surprising. They gave them all 5-pound blocks of Scrapple and a set of clay carving tools, and they had to create something within 90 minutes out of a 5-pound block of Scrapple.
90 minutes? That doesn't seem like that
and
much time.
And I'm looking
time.
At some yeah. of these images we have on our screens up, and they did pretty well.
They did amazing. I mean, it was really, really impressive. There was somebody who had an MFA in sculpture there. Mm. Yeah, I know.
She didn't know
there. Finally putting that degree to you. Take that, mom and dad.
There you go.
This whole thing feels like it violates some commandment. Like, I'm not sure which one, but this is against some law of God.
Right? And Scrapple is a method that they use to not waste food.
That's
it's all
true.
The parts of
yeah,
a pig that,
true.
You
it's
know.
It's a saving food type of food.
Didn't
it's
really
a gray good. Meat. I just want to put that out there.
But you're not from Philly.
It's a gray meat.
I know.
So I ate Scrapple coming up. I did eat Scrapple.
My daddy's from South Carolina, so we did eat Scrapple, but it's a gray meat.
Yeah.
So I just leave it there.
Yeah. Do we say who won? Or
but it looks cool, like carved.
Yeah, yeah. So some of the sculptures included a Philly pretzel with salt specks on it. We had someone
make
the Rocky statue,
yes.
someone make the clothespin. But the winner was Jake Heller, who he made a chicken vase with a removable head, put an egg inside of it so that it was, once again, reusable. Now, here's the thing about Jake. He actually won the Cheesemonger Invitational earlier in the year.
That guy.
We talked about that guy.
We did talk about that guy.
And despite winning the Cheesemonger Invitational, he said of the contest,
Jake is talented.
I know, he is. I feel like my life has really come together and led to this moment. Everything I worked for has really been for this. Not winning.
Higher.
I'm having a brainstorm here. Yeah. I feel like we could have some sort of collab and crossover between Jake and Dave. You know what I mean? Some sort of Jake-Dave crossover. It makes sense in my head. Four letters.
He could sculpt a thing of Dave, and then we could put it in front of the portal.
And so he can meet somebody.
He could date a Lithuanian woman.
You know what? This is the kind of conversations that need to be had, because we're going to find somebody for Dave.
That's
we have
right.
not
yes,
given up on
yes.
Dave.
Yeah, 2025 is Dave's year. I feel it.
And so let's move on to something, another story. The fake Eagle endorsements. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They showed up at SEPTA, on like the SEPTA bus terminals or the little waiting areas in the city, and they had Kamala Harris on there, and everybody thought, oh my goodness, the Eagles are endorsing Kamala Harris, but it was not. Try to explain that to Stephanie.
Well, that wasn't my story, and I was actually away on vacation at that time. So.
Okay.
I'm gonna demur a little bit, but I do remember. You know, it seemed to be an artist eventually took credit for it. Mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep. Guy named Winston Tseng. He claimed, by the way,
yes,
that he didn't actually put them up. He just made the art, and he doesn't know how it ended up at bus stops. Mm-hmm. You're not buying it.
No, I'm not. See, this is why I was afraid to go to the portal, because I know the kind of stuff that we do. You know, so he makes these posters and somebody puts them in.
It was a commentary on.
And he's made commentary on a number of people as
true.
Well. Yes.
It was a commentary on sort of political endorsements and why we care about them. You're still not buying
it. No, I'm not buying it at all, because you had to interfere with somebody else's property in order to do that. They had to interfere with SEPTA's property in order to do that. They had to take out the ads that somebody else paid for, right? And then put those over the ads that somebody else paid for. I would feel some type of way. If it was my ad, you put that over my ad, oh, I'm angry.
And people
you're giving
believed
me my money
it
back.
Because it was where you would normally find advertisements.
That's right.
And a couple people got dragged on social media for retweeting it, thinking it was real. So,
Also, the Eagles logo is on everything. I was driving in Delco yesterday, and it was on the mixer of a cement mixer truck. And
it can't show up anywhere.
I'm like, where am I not going to see this? I mean, it's got to be on a coffin somewhere.
My goodness.
I am sure. At least one. So, by the way, Lauren, did you believe these when you saw them go up, or did you think this is for sure a prank?
I didn't think they were real, just because you're not going to alienate half of your fan base, or one third or two thirds, however many Eagles fans out there.
It's a lot.
I didn't think it was real, but I thought it was very well done and well executed.
It was. So let's move on to another one. And I believe you did bring this one to us, Stephanie Farr. It just says Wawa Guy. So
it doesn't narrow it down at all.
There's a lot.
That could be Jake.
That could be anybody.
Can you tell us about Wawa Guy? Is that enough of a prompt? Do I need to give you more of a prompt?
It is. This is Tyler Garrison, and he went viral this summer, maybe, for he had collected every single Wawa order slip number from 000 to 999.
Okay, wait. So like when you order a sandwich at Wawa, it'll be like your order number 168 or something like that. You're telling me this guy got every single one of them?
How do you do that?
Well, he told me he eats at Wawa 3 to 4 times a day, which, look, I eat there like 3 to 4 times a week, and that's excessive. But 3 to 4 times a day. He also recruited some friends. Anybody who, you know, would go to Wawa, he'd ask them to bring their order slip with them. And then he would go into the basket. You know that little discard basket at the counter? Yeah, he was taken through there.
Is that honorable? Do we believe that was honorable for him
not
to do
all.
That?
Not at all.
I'm okay with
it. But he got he collected 999 of these. There's still some honor in that.
I just can't wait for them to like read his will, and like one of his great grandkids gets like the Wawa collection when they think
they were like, thanks, Grant.
They thought they were going to be able to pay for college. And
no,
instead,
that could be worth something, Lauren Vitas, the Wawa slip collection. So, what did you make of this story, Stephanie Farr? The fact that this guy was able to do it, you know, it is. I think it's an accomplishment. No.
I think it's a weird flex, right? Because I've run into a lot of Wawa fans, and I don't know anybody who would go that far. I mean, he has a second mission, which was actually his first mission, which led him to this, which is to take a picture at every Wawa in the country. There are more than 1,000 Wawas now.
Is he
getting paid for this? Wawa needs to hire this guy. Like, and if he actually gets hired, then it would have been all worth it. But it's like, he's like the Wawa ambassador.
Right. I mean, when he posted the picture, because what he did was post the picture of all the slips on Twitter, and that's what really went wild, because it looks like a quilt or a blanket. It's so big. And the CEO of Wawa said, I think this means you get my job now. You know, so, I mean, but all they did, I think, was send him, like, a gift basket, he did
that's
say.
That's it?
That's it.
But we could do more than that, Wawa,
I think. That feels like a shorty for life situation.
Yes.
Yeah, at a minimum. And he needs a beverage with that, like one of those teas. Mm-hmm. By the way, 3 years it took him to do this, and I'm like, dude, what you could accomplish if you focus that energy on something, because that's a huge accomplishment.
He did accomplish something. He got every Wawa slip.
But I'm just saying, like, that type of energy, like, he could put that on anything.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
So we'll look for him for a role in the next cabinet.
I know. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
You truly never know. So this next card just says, I don't know, Stephanie, if you can make sense of this or not. Animals on the loose.
Loose. With an exclamation
point. Just says animals on the loose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I prefer lamb for the pun factor. But
were there a lot of animals on the loose this year?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I've been doing these weirdest stories of the year pieces, year-end pieces for, you know, several years now. And every year it seems we have I have a category with animals on the loose. I mean, it started this year in February where a horse that had just arrived at the Fletcher Street Urban Riding Club escaped and ended up first on Kelly Drive, then on 676, and then on 95.
Whoa, it hit every single major artery. That's incredible.
It really did. Yeah, yeah. But it didn't stir up too much trouble.
Stir up. By the way, I have to say this because you did a pun, and yes, your second pun. By the way, that's two strikes. Lauren Vitas is a citywide pun champion. Yeah. That is real.
Pun champion of Philadelphia.
That is real.
Wow. Yeah.
Lauren,
did they give you a crown?
No. Absolutely
they need to.
Have,
did they give you anything?
I got a T-shirt and $50, which I proceeded to promptly spend at Oscars right after the show.
Did you spend it at Wawa?
No, I didn't. No, okay.
All at Oscars.
I spend it all at Oscars.
Yeah. So, but great pun. So this horse was. It got loose.
It got loose, yeah. They think it may have been, you know, somebody was messing with the stables at night and got on the highway, you know, caused some traffic jams for a while, became some social media memes. Our great team at the Enquirer, they made a computer game out of it. I was really impressed by that.
creative people over there.
Yeah, and because it was a new horse to the facility, the kids who go there to learn how to ride got to name the horse, and it was between 95 and Freeway. And so, yeah, now his name is Freeway, and he will ever, you know, so to be forever connected with his heyday.
Yeah. Wow.
Any other animals that we should be aware of that were on the loose this year? That was the big one for you.
Well, there was a raccoon who ran onto the field during a Union game.
I remember that. Yeah.
The photo is amazing. If you haven't seen it, you've got to look it up. This raccoon's face, he's just living his best life. And they were able to capture it with a trash can, which is very appropriate.
There was also a great call, like the announcer who was calling the game did a great like play-by-play of the raccoon running around the field.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's probably the most exciting thing that happened in a soccer game.
Oh! Sorry, soccer fans.
Whoa, whoa. By the way, we didn't even mention this, but one thing that happened this year was we got some more details on Philly in the 2026 World Cup.
Which was another big story.
That was a big story. So get your soccer.
I'm a soccer fan. Okay. The joke was
and by the way, soccer has brought Messi to Philadelphia twice at this point.
So Lionel Messi?
Yeah, exactly. So
not messiness, but yes.
No, but yes, the biggest soccer player in the world. And so that was pretty big deal with soccer.
Yeah, very big.
Keeps you awake.
Yeah. We have a July 4th World Cup game.
It's a long game without a lot of...
That's why you need raccoons.
Yeah, you need them.
That's why you need the raccoons.
We'll give that suggestion to FIFA for 2026. How about that?
One raccoon.
More wildlife, yeah.
By the way, I wanted to, speaking of escaping animals, had to mention the pig. The 300-pound pig named Dorothy who made it
about this.
To on the Schuylkill Expressway about a mile until somebody pulled over, gave a little pig some water, and like helped her to the side.
Oh my god!
It had it's a curly-haired pig. I mean,
it's adorable.
I don't know about adorable, but like yes. It was on this Google.
How are these?
A pretty animal. No.
Some people do love pigs, though.
They are cute.
I wouldn't say, yes, you know what?
Maybe not. I guess I have a soft spot for pigs. I never realized that until now. Yeah, Dorothy just won me over.
I just don't understand how all these animals are like instinctually finding on-ramps to major highways.
When it's, I can't find my I get lost all the time.
Exactly.
But the
science
pig made
needs
it.
To look into that.
Nature finds a way.
I have one more. This was not a Stephanie Farr one, but this was I think this was just me. It says Phillies, but I think what it's a reference to is the fact that the Phillies, they had a season, of course, in 2024, and there were some highlights and some lowlights, but they also played a lot of games wearing the colors yellow and blue. How do we feel about that? They have these alternate jerseys.
Terrible.
We all hate them.
Terrible.
Every single one. So if you haven't seen,
City Connects were garbage.
Yeah. So these are called City Connect jerseys, and they were yellow and blue this year to pay homage to the fact that Philadelphia's city flag is yellow and blue. If you didn't know.
Light blue,
but not that blue.
It's Swedish.
Right. Yeah, give them the backstory. Why do we have a yellow and blue flag here?
Because of the Swedes?
I think that's right.
Yeah, it's right, but like I don't know why we're like holding on to this, particularly when it comes to our sports teams. The old Eagles used to have, they'd had the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets throwbacks. Those were also yellow and blue.
But that
I can understand. These colors were just terrible. The font was terrible.
It didn't grow on you at all.
It did not. And then Real Muto looked like a banana in his like yellow catcher's gear.
Oh my goodness.
It felt like we were the evil team in like a softball adult league comedy movie. Like we were like the corporate team that was
in
trying
sluggers.
Sluggers too. Yeah, exactly. Trying to take down the ragtag fun-loving guys. Yeah, they were terrible.
Solomon, you did not like these uniforms.
Very ugly uniforms. And I've got some Phillies gear. You know, I like the blue. I like the red. I like the gray. I like the white. I like all of it. I like the pinstripes. And so there have been many Phillies uniforms. I've liked all of them except this one. This one feels like it's like a failed hip-hop experiment.
Ooh.
With that font. That's what it looks like. It's horrible.
I will say I did see one Phillies fan improve upon them, and I'm not sure if I can say this on the radio, by putting the colloquial name of a very famous building on the back the jersey.
You cannot say that. Google it, kids.
Yeah.
Google it. Really?
It went viral.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That made it fun.
I'm sure Alex Bohm appreciated
it.
Oh, you got close.
Dancing on the line.
Boy, I'm going to transition real quickly and mention that a couple other fun stories this year that Stephanie reminded us of. Robert De Niro attended an Eagles tailgate as part of the election crush. Remember that?
I remember Robert De Niro
at an Eagles tailgate. And Bill Murray bartended at Bob and Barbara's here in Philadelphia this year.
That's my local. So I live like a couple blocks away, and my friend Katrina met him at the Phillies game, and she runs Bob and Barb's with her brother, and they took him back. And I was like, I've never been madder at a person in my life.
And you did not get a call?
Not getting a text.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. Okay. I just like go online the next day and I'm like,
And we found out about this because crew members of the band Guster happened to be at Bob and Barbara's that night and tweeted about getting served by Bill Murray.
Wait, so Guster was in town playing a show?
This is like a Gen X Mad Lib.
Wow.
I like Guster.
I know.
So members of the band Guster tweeted about the fact that Bill Murray was at Bob and Barbara's being the bartender for the night.
Right, yeah, pretty much serving, they don't call him City Whip, the special there. Serving up some Jim Beam and PBR.
Yeah, wow. And actually, now that we mention it, we lost another local legend this year, Butchie, who was a longtime bartender at Bob and Barb's, recently passed away.
Yes, I saw that story.
He was a staple and a very dear friend, so next time you guys have a citywide, please pour one out for Butch.
Yeah,
we'll do.
That's a nice place to end it as well.
Yes.
Man, you guys were awesome.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. So Stephanie Farr, of course, writes for The Inquirer about all sorts of weird, wacky stuff happening all across the region.
And first timer to Studio 2. Welcome. Yes. We hope to have you back. You were great.
Yeah, I'd love to.
You're allowed to steal the mug, by the way.
Also, thank you to Solomon Jones, columnist at the Philadelphia Inquirer and host at WURD Radio, and to you, Lauren Vitas, government relations professional and author of Broad and Market, a weekly newsletter. You guys are great. We appreciate you being on our year-end review.
Cherry, I have a proposal. Let's meet right back here, New Year's Eve 2025, for another year in review. What do you think?
I love it. I'll be here. Okay? And now we're going to switch gears for our next segment. I mean, we cannot end the year, Avi, without some gratitude. So, coming up on the other side of this break, we're going to hear from two fantastic guests and mostly our listeners about what they're most thankful for. Teaser, Avi and I, we're going to share ours too. We'll be right back. This is Studio 2.
Your passenger side, lighting the sky. We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR. My girl. Yeah.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. The end of the year is a great time to think just for a minute and ask ourselves, what am I grateful for? All right, think about it. You got it?
Yeah.
What are you grateful for? You know, for many of us, it can be pretty easy to take friends, family, our health, and so many other things for granted. And that's because we're busy all the time. No shade, no judgment.
Yeah, but we're turning to two gratitude experts for the rest of our hour. Joining us are Psychology Today writer Susie Pileggi-Pawelski and her husband James Pileggi, director of education at Penn's Positive Psychology Center. And together they wrote the book Happy Together, Using the Science of Positive Psychology to Build Love That Lasts.
We're about to do this activity together, talking mm-hmm. about what we're all grateful for with our audience. What is the psychological effect of going through a process like the one we're about to go through? Does it actually make us more grateful, happier? What do we know about that?
Absolutely. Practicing gratitude, being grateful, has so many psychological and physical effects. Researchers have found that gratitude may be the most important strength for our individual well-being and for our relationships with other people. Mm. I could talk on and on, but in brief, grateful people tend to have more robust health, greater emotional being. They tend to be more successful in their workplace. And when tragedies or health issues happen, which they do in life, they tend to bounce back better. And if they're not, let's say, healthy, having the grateful attitude helps them to take steps to make improvements regardless of their situation instead of just giving up.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I want to bring in a caller. We have Sarah, who is in remission from cancer, and we're talking about that. Sarah, you're on Studio 2. Tell us your story of gratitude.
So last year at this time, I was just starting chemotherapy for breast cancer. And today I'm in the kitchen making turkey, having my whole family. And I'm so grateful for my health, and I'm grateful for all my friends and family that supported me throughout this year. It's overwhelming sometimes to realize that the people that love you, and people don't get the chance to know that people love them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like cancer gave me that gift. I feel like cancer gave me more than it took in that it gave me that opportunity to know how many people love me and support me. That's pretty profound. Wow. So thanks for letting me tell you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was beautiful.
Sarah,
thank you, Sarah.
What a beautiful thing to, so can you talk, can you first of all respond to what Sarah had to say? And when you're going through things like cancer, I can't even imagine, how do you find that space? How do you find that moment, that thing, the sort of, helps you see past the pain you may be going through to the gratitude.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Sarah, thank you for sharing your story with us, and what a moving experience. And oftentimes we think about something like cancer or some other trauma or tragedy as being disruptive in a merely negative way. And people like Sarah finding ways, or Michael as well, finding ways of being grateful. Mm-hmm. Gratitude is one of those things that can help us in those moments.
Yeah.
Because a cancer diagnosis is deeply disruptive.
Yeah.
It doesn't only bring negative things, though. And if we can be attuned to the positive elements, like Sarah was,
yeah,
the connections that she had, the real strong friendships and support comes out even more strongly in those times of difficulty.
You want to bring in another caller here?
Let's do it.
I know.
Anson from Collegeville is on line 2. Anson, you're on Studio 2. Tell us what you're grateful for.
I am grateful for my family. Many times my family has helped me with many things when I felt down and I couldn't do it.
Mm. Anson, tell me, do you have something that you can point to that your family helped you with?
So when we go out to eat at, like, we go to this eating place, my family helps me choose what to eat for breakfast sometimes in the morning.
I love
that. Could be tricky because you got the pancakes, you got the waffles, you know, maybe you go eggs. Mm-hmm. I love that. Anson from Collegeville.
And Anson,
so
how old are you, Anson?
I'm about 8.
Words of wisdom about breakfast choosing from 8-year-old Anson in Collegeville. That was great.
What I love about gratitude is that sometimes you can be grateful for big things like surviving cancer, but also small things like your family helping you to choose breakfast, or just, you know, we were talking about this before the show, just having a really soft pillow. Can you talk about the different types of gratitude? Because sometimes you have to, sometimes if things are not going right, right, Susie? Sometimes you got to start super small.
Absolutely. Well, it's a shift in mindset. So taking the focus off ourselves, and as I mentioned, looking at other people. And even in the toughest times, the most grateful people could find something, even if it's really, really small, like you mentioned, the pillow, or maybe your cup of coffee that morning. And researchers have found the more we focus and shift our attention on the little things, it's like compounded interest. It builds and builds.
Kind of one of the things that gratitude helps us do is not take things for granted.
Yes.
Right. So I just want to point out that Anson, you know, 8 years old calling in, typically gratitude doesn't necessarily kick in that young.
Yes.
Typically we're
Anson's
the ones
advanced.
Saying to 8-year olds,
you know, thankful.
Be thankful. Right. So the fact that he voluntarily called in with that gratitude, I think, yeah, he's a kind of a gratitude
savant.
Savant, exactly. So that was really beautiful.
I just want to say what I'm grateful for, because I love to laugh and Cindy emails, I'm grateful for fun, silliness, humor, jokes, beauty, music. And I always say this to our Studio 2 crew here. I have a belly laugh at least once a day, thanks to our team. And it really makes working here so much more enjoyable. And I think you don't think about the laughs, right? How much they can relieve tension, how much they can relieve stress, and how much something so small, like a nice, well-placed joke, can change the course of your day.
Cherry, can I say something about dad jokes?
Yes, please tell me about dad jokes.
Please tell a few.
I would tell you a joke about roofs, but I think it might go over your head.
There's a belly laugh, by the way.
Yes. Our son is going to be dying now, especially if his 14-year-old friends are listening.
The great thing about dad jokes is they don't even have to be good, right? So So my parents are visiting me. My mom is 90 years old, and this morning at breakfast, my dad tried a joke. It turns out it was so bad, my mom just lost it. She was like, you know, she's heard a lot of his jokes, and it was really on the bed. And we all were just chortling.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be good. But I bet this call is going to be good. Let's bring in Gilda. Gilda, you're on Studio 2. What are you grateful for?
I am grateful that in 1967, God had put my mother, a single parent living in Haiti, in touch with a Jewish family who sponsored my oldest sister. And they in turn sponsored my mother, who then enabled the rest of our family to come here from Haiti in 1969. And I'm just so grateful that there are people out there who understand the plight of immigrants in this country and who are willing to help. But there is so much that we immigrants are grateful for, but few people are aware of. So thank you so much for allowing me to share my story.
We're so glad you did.
Thank
we're
you,
grateful
Gilda.
That you shared, and we're grateful that you're here. And Eric from Drexel Hill has a very similar comment. Eric's an immigrant and says that he's grateful for our country and God bless America. So thank you to Eric and to Gilda for sharing those stories.
Yeah, we want to bring in, we have some clips. Our producers went out and talked to folks. We have Mary Grochi, who's 74 from Philadelphia, who lives at the John C. Anderson Apartments in Center City, Philadelphia. And she's going to share what she's grateful for.
I'm processing a lot, everything from the election to a new grandson that just arrived recently. It's a lot to process, and I'll admit I've been very down about the election results and what that means for us. But I'm also grateful for many things, for my partner, Suze. We've had 30 years together and counting on many more, and also for health and our home here. It's full of friends, and we really enjoy the community here and are very grateful for it.
Love that from Mary.
I love that, yeah.
Here's an email from Laura who says, almost every day I'm grateful and amazed that this Earth is the perfect distance from the sun for life to exist here, that a thin layer of atmosphere exists at all and keeps us safe and contained on this planet, that we have oxygen to breathe, thanks largely to microscopic organisms in the ocean, in addition to the plants on the Earth that allow life to exist here as we know it. We talked earlier about being grateful for little things like the trees on one street. Mm-hmm. And now Laura's going like universal with it. Like, how miraculous is it that we're here at all? Sometimes I find it actually hard to step back and appreciate that. But when I read it the way Laura put it, it really does strike a chord. Talk about big gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, then the more we learn about the world and our place in it, the more cause we can have for gratitude. So part of what I love about this feast that we're having today is, again, gratitude is so robust. It like can come up in a lot of different perspectives. At the worst time of our lives, it can sustain us. At the best time of our lives, it can help us to celebrate. When we're looking at the small things, it can help us to keep things from taking things for granted. And when we look at the big things, and the more we learn about, I mean, look, if somebody said to me, do you think that human life would work? Like, bet yes or no. I'd be like, no, there's no
way.
It's too complicated. Yeah. There's too much that could go wrong. And yet here we are, right? It's really extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. Did you have something to add, Susie?
I was just going to say, we just have to remember to do it. There's large things. There's little things. There's so much. We just have to make it a priority and wake up each day and think, what am I grateful for? And start small. And then, I mean, you could continue forever. There's so many things. And focusing on the other people in our lives, right? There's always something or someone to be grateful in our lives if we just shift our attention and focus on it.
Yeah, I want to bring in another caller. And Matt is from Northern Delaware. He's on the line. Matt, we want to hear what you're grateful for. You're on Studio 2. Share your story.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. I'm grateful for being on. So I would say that I think we just got to go back to some basics. I think that every cloud has a silver lining. I think that we need a little bit more hope and faith in each other. And I don't mean faith in religious angles, more of just we need to believe in each other and what we're capable of. And we're capable of great things. We've come so far. We've done so many great and amazing, beautiful things, and we forget about it. And we forget ourselves within the sauce.
Yeah.
It's time to kind of pull ourselves out and think a little bit, you know?
Yeah, thank you so much. That's Matt from Northern Delaware. And that goes to my question to both you, Susie and James. You know, how can expressing gratitude to your friends, to families, to your coworkers, how does that help your relationship? Because a lot of times you take people you work with who do things they're supposed to do for granted.
Absolutely. And I think many of us might feel grateful for our partners or our friends, but we forget to express it. Yeah. And I like to say, nobody is a mind reader. They haven't found really legitimate mind readers. So we have to express it. That's the first step. It's not enough just to feel grateful. So then I express the gratitude, but how do I express it, right? If I'm just focusing on me or the gift, that's not really good. So if I'm expressing my gratitude to my husband, James, here, who does many great things, what is it about James that I'm grateful for?
Yeah.
So it's much better to focus on his specific actions, his strengths. If he gave me a gift, it's not bad to say thank you for that wonderful jacket. I love it. But how much better to say, I really appreciate your thoughtfulness. You know, I'm always cold. I outgrew my coat. It's your thoughtfulness I see every day with your students at Penn, with our son. It's that thoughtfulness of yours that makes you such a great, you know, colleague, a great son. So now I'm shifting the attention from myself and the benefit to me to James's personality and what makes James, James.
Let's read in a couple more from our listeners. Here's one from Joan who says, last year, I adopted a Native American daily prayer of gratitude to the four elements, air, water, earth, and sun. It's a wonderful way to start each day. It puts my mind in the direction of attention and thankfulness for things we often overlook and take for granted. Lou says, what to be thankful for? How about a big positive turn in my health? After 3 years of real ugliness, I have lost 35 pounds and can walk 2 miles on a flat surface. I'll spend the winter getting ready to be able to hike in the mountains next spring. Something like this doesn't happen without all of the good people all around me.
I just love that. I mean, when you go through something, and I always say this to myself, if something bad happens, I always wonder how it can be turned into a good thing and what blessings can flow from that, right? It, you know, just overcoming, you know, this thing, it builds that strength, it builds that community, and it tells you you can get through, right?
Yeah, and it turns out that bad is stronger than good in the sense that if you have one thing that happens to you that's bad in the day and one thing that's good, what are you gonna be thinking about when you're
bad,
going to sleep? Right?
Bad.
Which means we need to focus on the good things intentionally. And fortunately, many more good things happen to us than bad things. And so in relationships or just in our internal lives, it's really important. That's why it's important to make this a practice.
Can I say one more thing I'm grateful for? Can I get back to my list? I found myself feeling very grateful this year for holiday lights. And for whatever reason this year, the darkness that comes this time of year that really encroaches after we transition out of daylight saving, it was hitting me hard for those first couple weeks. I was like, man, it's tough to walk out of work. It's already dark. And the last few days I've started to see those lights come up, and it takes a dark world and it gives it a little pop. And you need the darkness to have the light. And I was just appreciating that a lot, especially the last couple days walking, biking home. Holiday lights. Always love them, but this year I'm really, really loving them.
Yeah, they're a big thing when you have to ride home on the bike. Yeah, in the evening. I want to bring in another caller. We have Alyssa from Hamilton, New Jersey. Alyssa, you're on Studio 2. What are you grateful for?
So I am grateful for NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. I have a son who has severe mental illness, and I found this wonderful support group. And just to be able to talk to people who are going through similar, you know, experiences that I am and get their advice and their experiences and be able to be open about what's really happening and how I really feel without being judged. It's just a very wonderful experience for me. And I've made friends and I feel so supported. They also have great education, and it's just changed my life to be able to feel strong and able to, you know, continue to do what I need to do to support my son.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alyssa from Hamilton, New Jersey. Grateful for community. I mean, community, I mean, we experience, my whole life has changed since COVID, and I'm so grateful for that, because during COVID, I mean, a lot of people lost their community. They were isolated, and I think folks forgot how much we need each other. Can you talk about that, Susie? How just being around other people, having those positive reinforcements and that support can be life-changing.
Community is key to our well-being. Without other people, it just, you know, no man is an island. Research has found over and over again, it's our strong social connections. Mm. It's our relationships. It's our real-life relationships. With social media, it's not how many friends or likes, it's in person. We know physiologically we change just by looking at each other. There's a whole science behind that, how we mimic one another. There's changes in our body going on when we really connect and feel like somebody gets us. And like the wonderful caller who just talked about, the people who support us. So I would say of anything, focus on building strong friendships. Ideally having like three people you can call in the middle of the night, no matter what. Research has found if you have three people, no matter what time, you know he or she's going to be there for you, it bodes really well for your well-being.
I think this is really crucial, especially since last year the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, had guidance that we're in an epidemic of loneliness and social isolation. So one of the things that gratitude can help us do is to get out of our own selves, out of our own individual little bubbles, and connect deeply and authentically with others. So I'm a professor. I like to give assignments. Mm. The listeners are not my students, so this is going to be an optional assignment. But my assignment is to find a way of expressing and listening to expressions of gratitude authentically with someone beyond your own community. Kind of extend your connections a little bit through gratitude.
I like to think that we've created something of a community here at Studio 2.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but Joanne does say, I'm grateful for all you bring, talking about us, to our beloved WHYY, your energy, your concern for our city, your accessibility to the listening community. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanne. Vicky says, grateful for WHYY in Studio 2, and
Beatrice says
the same. Joanne, Vicky, Beatrice, thank you so much, and we hope to continue to build this community here.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about, and that's why we do our On the Road series as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in another caller now. This is Casey from Alney. Casey, you're on Studio 2. What are you grateful for?
I am especially grateful for two things. One is Philly has sidewalks. I learned how important those are because when I was burned out of my house, I had to spend 1 year in Bucks County where there were no sidewalks, and they forbid on the roads from having people walk or ride a bike. The second thing I'm thankful for is my wonderful family who took care of me during the year it took for my house to be rehabbed, and I thank them very, very much every holiday. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Aw, thank you, Casey.
Wow, what a 1-2 punch from
Casey. I know.
That was awesome.
That had me tearing up a little bit. With the family, you know, helping through rehab, that was a struggle, I'm sure. But to have family supporting you, amazing. We even have more. Let's read a few more. We have an email from Marisol. We talked about community. We talked about friends. Marisol says, I am so grateful for my long-distance, long-time Australian Skype friend, Polly. When she knew she was dying, she spent months making sure that her husband and I would know each other well after she died, and she let us know very clearly that if more happened, she approved. What? Okay, Polly. Well, he and I have been together for several years at this point. We plan to get married. It's an understatement to say I'm grateful for Polly. So Marisol was able to find love through her friend. I mean, that is such a good story. Roundabout story about finding love through a friend. I mean,
a lot to unpack there, but thank you for the email, Marisol.
A lot,
and,
yes.
People have really been so earnest this hour.
And sharing
and
all kinds
they've
of
shared
stuff, yeah.
All sorts of things from their lives, so I appreciate that a lot. I got to read this email from Alexis. This is great. I had James Pawelski as a professor at Albright College in the 90s.
Oh, what?
He taught a course called Applied Pragmatism, and both the syllabus and the instructor inspired gratitude in spades.
Yes.
It's hard not to be grateful when you have a college class that begins each day with a dance session. James, dance session?
I'm tearing up over here. Alexis, it's so great to hear from you. Yeah, back in the day, 20 years ago, I had a class at Albright College where we tried to practice the aspects of well-being. And of course, you know, typically you go into a class and you sit down and you wait for the instructor to come in and you try to keep from falling asleep. No. We started with dance, and the students brought in the music, and we really, you know, and so we talked about and put into practice the kinds of things like gratitude that support our well-being. So that was a huge gift to me after all these years that, you know, you put things out there, you have these times as an instructor and a professor, and when your students remember and continue to live that out, nothing can be better than that.
I just want to say, maybe we need to start our Studio 2 sessions with a dance session.
You don't want to see me dancing. You don't want, but Alexis, by the way, if I have the right Alexis, we don't have last names here on our screen, but Alexis, I believe, is a regular listener and an excellent commenter, always leaves these great comments. So I'm giving you a little credit for that, James.
Wow.
You must have inspired Alexis to open up
cool
to the
class.
World. Let's bring in Bob now from Millville, New Jersey. We are winding down here on this hour of Studio 2, but I do think we have time for Bob in Millville. Bob, what are you grateful for?
So I'm grateful for many unions that I belong to in my life. They have helped me to have a decent living and get benefits and get what I deserve as a worker, and looked out for me against management occasionally when things weren't done exactly right. And I'm also grateful I ended up being a union president, and I'm grateful for the members who supported me and helped me help them.
That's great. Wow. Thank you so much, Bob. Grateful for labor unions. Mm-hmm. How about this email from Katie? Yes. I've been doing online dating for a year and a half and have been on dates with lots of guys, but now I've found my needle in a haystack. I'm so grateful for his kindness, steadiness, positive outlook, and willingness to do new things. It's still new, but we make a great pair. Katie and her needle in a haystack.
You know what? I want to throw in something I'm grateful for right now, because I got engaged this year.
Yeah. Oh,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I this is my second time around, and I feel like I found the perfect partner for me. And it's such a blessing, because, you know, you go like Katie, it's a needle in a haystack. And when you're over 35, the needles are bent, dusty, and rusty. Okay?
I'm with
bent,
you.
Bent, dusty, and rusty. Let me tell you.
Lord.
And so to find one that works is a beautiful thing. And so, yes.
I got to stick up for the guys over 35. Keep doing your thing.
So you do feel very grateful for that, and it transforms your life in such a positive way. So I had to say thank you to Jamie for, and he did a wonderful job with his proposal. So anyway, I'm very grateful for
and
that.
I know Jamie, and I can tell you that's a great he is a great needle.
Yes.
And now I wasn't even gonna get into family, but of course I'm so grateful.
I know.
For my partner, for my kid, for my family, and it almost goes without saying, but as you guys mentioned, we should say it.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude. What a great way to end the hour. The guests you heard there were Psychology Today writer Susie Pileggi-Pawelski and her husband James Pawelski from Penn's Positive Psychology Center. They co-wrote the book Happy Together, using the science of positive psychology to build love that lasts.
We want to express our thanks to our Studio 2 team. The show is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Murray-Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Our visual producer is Mike Schiffler, Al Banks, Diana Martinez, Charlie Kyer, Adam Staniszewski, and Tina Calliquet engineered our program this year. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory. Joan Isabella is our audio general manager. Terry Murray is WHYY's chief content officer. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, for the last time in 2024, I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I am thankful, and I'm Avi Wolfman Arendt. We will talk to you next year.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.